Good morning and welcome to this, your Tuesday edition of Southeast Radio's Morley Mix. Hope we find you in good form. Our thanks once again to Phil and Aileen, and they'll be back with the Jumbo Breakfast Show for you tomorrow morning, just after 7 o'clock. Do join them for that. What have we got lined up with you or for you on this edition of the programme today? Well, first of all, we let you know how best to contact us. And Catherine has taken the calls on 053 914 5222, and our text and WhatsApp, as always, in association with a great Wexford company, Doyle's Garage, Courtown, Enniscorthy, your main MG dealer for the county. We're going to look back on a very busy main council meeting that saw not one but two protests outside the doors yesterday, and robust discussions within the meeting itself about Wexford County Council bylaws for the Port of New Ross and Irish flags being removed from Seamus Rafter's Bridge in Enniscorthy. Uncertainty over Gaza's future, but there have been some rays of hope. I'm joined in the studio by former Labour Party leader and spokesperson on foreign affairs, Brendan Howland. And the National Lottery and the good causes, it could be you. We look at its wonderful success and how it has been transformative for so many organisations. But first off, let me just read some of the headlines from some of the national papers today. In the Irish Daily Mail, cash to leave letter sent to 33,000 migrants. Families who take up the offer will be given prepaid a debit card. In the Irish Independent, 1,600 properties identified in a probe into illegal holiday lets. Meanwhile, on the front page of the Irish Examiner, hostages freed as peace deal holds, millions counting on life-saving aid getting into Palestine at scale. In the Irish Daily Mirror, Gaza ceasefire deal signed, a day we thought we'd never see, outpouring of emotions as Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners are freed. And on the Irish Daily Star, thug gets 3 years. They're right scumbags. Arsonist mums text as he was outsetting a 5 million Lewis on fire. And online in the Journal, US, Egypt, Qatar and Turkey sign declaration as guarantors of Gaza peace deal, while the Palestinian president is in attendance. Benjamin Netanyahu will not attend. We're going to discuss that with Brendan Howland in just a second, but I just want to dip into, for the first of many dip-ins, to the council meeting yesterday. It got quite volatile when a bylaw was raised in relation to the New Ross area. Tensions rose. The bylaws will allow munitions and explosives to be stored at the port, and I'm joined, or I got a chance to speak to the chair of the Ross District, Councillor John Dwyer. He gave this reaction to what was quite a volatile discussion.
Yeah, I did, mainly because this change in bylaws, the introduction to allow the Defence Forces to use New Ross Port to now import ammunition, explosives, and God only knows what else, because no one at the top table actually clarified what the Defence Forces intend to import through New Ross. Now, if you couple that with talk nationally among government ministers and at government meetings about abolishing the triple lock, then you start to see little bits of the jigsaw being revealed. If you look at the fact that Irish Defence Forces have been involved in EU battle groups. Now, battle groups are exactly that. They're training to be offensive. They're not training to be defensive. Armies, by their very nature, will go on the offence when they feel they have to. So Irish involvement in EU battle groups would effectively be another step that they're taking to slowly but surely take
a number of councillors, John, sought assurance from the top table, and then the vote was put to a show of hands, and the vote was won comprehensively to accept these bylaws.
Well, the vote was certainly won comprehensively, but then again, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael control it, and they're the ones who, at a national level, are seeking to take away our neutrality. So, of course, they're councillors.
And what are the questions, the ongoing questions that you have about this then? Because you're far from satisfied.
Well, the ongoing questions are exactly... First of all, they're talking about importing and possibly storing, because none of this was given clarity by the...
It was munitions and explosives, and that was clarified as well.
Munitions and explosives. But within, you know, bird's eye view of where these will be stored is a traveller's halting site, and a halting site that has been there for the past 40 years. There are also significant workplaces completely or absolutely adjacent to where these will be unloaded. Now, I have worked in Dublin Port and I have worked in Rosslare Port, and security is second to none in those places.
So you obviously have further questions that you're not happy. What are those questions?
Well, the questions will be, what will be the security arrangements units, what will be the storage arrangements? Yeah. Those are the logical questions that arise as a result of this.
Right, that was John Dwyer, the chair of New Ross District, giving his view to one of the many issues that was raised at what was a very interesting, a long, mind you, council meeting yesterday. Went on until well after 10 past six, but nevertheless, a lot of topics that were raised, which are of great interest to the county. Probably brings you back in time, Brendan, many, many decades, was it?
Yeah.
Do you remember those days and the meetings?
Oh, yeah, indeed. Firstly, thanks for inviting me in again, Alan, and good morning to your listeners. Yes, I do. It was possible to have dual membership many, many decades ago, where you could be a member of the Dáil and a member of the County Council. And I actually, you know, I think that added to the council because you had people who were able to bring the concerns of Wexford as discussed at the council meeting directly into the Dáil chamber and so on. But I suppose it's just the demands of it are too much now. Mm. Both the Dáil with all the new committees and the work that's been done there and in the council. But certainly I enjoyed my time. But funnily enough, you know, I was a member of Wexford Corporation as well as Wexford County Council. And if you ask me honestly, I preferred Wexford Corporation because you were making real decisions that you could see have concrete form in your own town. And that was something I really enjoyed. And it was you were very accessible. Everybody in the town knew the 12 members of the corporation. And
there were some characters there.
There were great characters and great fun. Yeah. And there was no personal commentary. You know, it was, you know, there was robust debate, but there was a good degree of comradeship as well.
You join us in, thankfully, a little bit better times when it comes to Gaza. The last time you were here, I had a very harrowing discussion with a young man who was living in Gaza and had lost his brother, who went down to collect food at one of the food depots just a month ago, and then had lost his house. But now you join us and you've a chance to evaluate what's been going on. Do you give Donald Trump credit in some way for this? Or?
Well, first, I should say that in every other discussion we've had over the last
two, I don't think we've ever given Donald Trump credit for anything.
We've had 2 years of me being depressed and you being depressed and the world being depressed.
And the protest taking
certainly
place,
the people of Ireland being depressed at what was going on. I mean, the savagery of the attack of Hamas on the people of Israel was shocking. But the response was absolutely beyond horrendous. And we have a situation now where up to 70,000 Palestinians have died. Up to 20,000 of those are children. Children. And you have, by the UN's account today, something like 170,000 maimed people, lost limbs, blind, in need of urgent care. And there are no medical facilities in Gaza. So the situation is shocking. But yesterday, at least, the killing, in terms of the direct killing, the bombing and the shooting and the use of drones to kill people, stopped. And that's a blessing. Thank God for that. But really, it brings us back to where we were twice before in the last 18 months. And that is a de facto ceasefire. Now, all the hostages, all the living hostages, have been returned, 20 hostages that Hamas had kept, who should have been released a long time ago, and should never have been taken in the first place. But the next phase is going to be the most difficult, because anybody who has read any reports can see that Gaza is unlivable in. It is completely destroyed. It is reckoned that 90% of buildings have been destroyed or rendered uninhabitable. There are no functioning health services. Sewage systems, clean water systems have been destroyed. It was a systematic destruction of the ability of the Palestinian people to live in Gaza. So there's a monumental task to be done. And we've got over the first phase, thank God for that. The hostages have returned. Israel has released up to 2,000, they say prisoners. 250 of those were convicted prisoners who were convicted in Israeli courts.
Yeah.
But the vast bulk, 1,700 odd, were people who were simply detained, some as young as 12, who were simply rounded up and interned without any charge, without any court procedure, and without any recourse to any legal rights. So they've been released as well, and that is, I suppose, the stepping stone for something better. The declaration that was signed, you mentioned it in your lead-in, by the United States, obviously everything has to praise Donald Trump, and I do acknowledge that without him it wouldn't have happened, because somebody had to lean on Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think it was the attack, the attack that Israel made on the negotiating team for Hamas in Qatar. Yeah. Qatar is a close friend of the United States. The biggest US base in the Middle East is in Qatar. And I think even for Donald Trump, that was a bridge too far, a reach too much from Benjamin Netanyahu, who obviously, in trying to destroy the negotiating team, had no intention of peace. And right. that most commentators have said that was the catalyst that said, Donald, you must put the pressure on Netanyahu to stop this madness now, because you can't. And he told Netanyahu, in his own words, that you can't fight the world. And the world was beginning to say no, no, no to the Israeli aggression.
Right. Hamas refuses to disarm. Israel has not fully withdrawn. These are the key issues, the situation on the ground. Are we now in day five? Is this the fifth day or is it the sixth day?
Well, depending on how you count, the signing obviously took place yesterday, the ceasefire the day before. The bottom line is, phase one, as I said, has happened and it's gone well, thank God. Mm. Phase two is much more difficult, and that is what they call stabilisation and security. Stabilising the situation in Gaza is going to be very, very difficult. Hamas has now emerged and they're now asserting themselves again. There's online videos of them taking action against other militia, including executing people yesterday. Who is going to disarm Hamas is the first question, and who is going to maintain law and order in the situation?
That is a major concern, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, and a number of countries have said we will send troops for peacekeeping, but will Israel allow foreign troops into Gaza? That's a big question that hasn't been answered yet, and who will send their troops into harm's way in that way? I notice you again mentioned in your introduction Ireland said we might send peacekeepers, but I don't think we're going to send peace enforcers to disarm Hamas, and that's going to be the first big task. So, and then the next obvious phase of that is who is going to govern not only the Gaza Strip but the West Bank. Is it going to be something input from the Palestinian people themselves, or is it going to be this committee headed by Donald Trump, this so-called peace committee, involving people like the former British Prime Minister Tony Blair? These are really, really tricky things. And certainly in the document that was published last night, signed by the United States, Qatar, Turkey and Egypt,
right,
there was no detail about it. It was all aspirational.
So how do you feel, someone on the outside, like you were the spokesperson of foreign affairs in one of your last briefs, how do you feel overall as you analyse it?
Well, you have to...
If you're one of the protesters going down every week, whether it be in Gori, you go there.
I go there every Thursday.
Yeah, every Thursday there's protests around the county. New Ross and Gori have them as well.
Yeah.
How would you feel if you're going to do your protest this week?
I think...
Or how do you feel?
You feel hopeful.
Right.
Hopeful that the bombs have stopped falling down on the heads of children. Mm. That's hopeful, but very anxious, very apprehensive that the world will turn away temporarily and things won't improve. Mm. We need to surge in aid.
Yeah.
Now, I looked this morning to see the reports, how much aid is getting in. They're saying we need 600 trucks a day. Yeah. Not all the entry points are open yet. The main entry point is to open today, Tuesday. The first thing this morning, 18 trucks went in through one of the two open crossing points. Now, these are very small amounts for the 600 we need. And we saw, you know, the trucks that were getting in, basically desperate people mounting the trucks and taking the food away from them, because people are desperate. And we need to have a UN structure that will have proper distribution of food. You need to have a surge of food so that it's not short. And all the other things, like medicines, like skilled health personnel to deal with the maimed and so on that I've talked about. And basic shelter, because obviously, although we think of the Middle East as permanently warm, we're heading into the winter and we need to have proper shelter. Because there is no shelter. There are no homes for the vast bulk of the Palestinian people in a land that is absolutely devastated. It is like looking at pictures of Berlin in 1945. It is levelled, and we really need to step up to the mark now to ensure that those Palestinians who have survived the awfulness of the last 2 years don't succumb to sickness, disease and hunger now.
Yeah,
when the bombers have stopped.
Well, hopefully we'll get back and talk to our source over there in Gaza to see how things are improving.
That would be really interesting to hear what is actually happening on the ground.
Yeah, I plan to try and do that over the next day or two. Just before we let you go, I see there's a local comment on your views in the presidential election as well. Do you want to respond? I mean, there's a lot of interest in what you're thinking.
I suppose I should be flattered that I'm a retired politician now. I'm a private citizen. It's interesting that you know, there's comment about my movement, still an interest in it. I want to maintain my own privacy. I support my party, obviously, but in terms of active politics, that's not something I intend to be involved in.
And as you look at the campaign, what do you make of it? Are you willing to share anything with me on it?
I genuinely don't want to go into the campaign, other than I would have liked a broader range.
Basically what you're saying to me, you no longer have to toe the party line. You can vote for whoever you want.
I support the party, full stop. I've spent my life in it. But I'm not involved in any campaign, and I'm bemused at this a comment about where I should move or what I should turn up to do. I'm not an active politician. But I suppose, as I said, it's flattering to think that my attendance at something or my movement or my whereabouts at any given time, without even asking me, of course, what I was doing, is a matter of public interest. That's, I suppose, something I find flattering, but I genuinely want now, and I'm looking forward, I was saying to you before...
Yeah, about the word smear. Will you share anything with me on it?
In terms of the campaign, well, the presidential campaign, and I've been involved in every one since Mary Robinson's time, has always involved a very different sort of analysis than a normal general election. Because the president doesn't have very many constitutional powers, can't deal with policy matters like housing and health, which are the normal bread and butter issues of a general election campaign. So in some ways, it is the character and personality of the individuals that come under scrutiny. And while there is legitimate questions posed, sometimes that goes far too far in a way that is not only intrusive but unacceptable.
But the only one who knows what way Brendan Howland is going to vote in the presidential election is Brendan Howland. And I get from you, you no longer have to give the direct answer, follow the party line. You make up your own mind.
I always do. But I mean, I'm a party person. I'm very proud to have spent 42 years as an Oireachtas member flying the flag of Labour.
But is it a backhanded compliment that they still want to know what you think?
I suppose it is.
We leave it there.
Thanks indeed.
Thank you for joining me in studio. That was Brendan Howland there, looking at the situation in Gaza and giving us some sort of reaction to what he thinks about the presidential election. But now let's turn our attention to other matters which are of equal importance when it comes to this county of ours. And this is, of course, the situations that unfolded yesterday at the chamber meeting, just before the chamber meeting in Wexford County Council. First of all, there was a protest in relation to Our Lady's Island Lake, and I spoke to Patter.
I'm Patter MacDonald. I'm a member of the Save Ladies Island Lake campaign group, along with another dozen or so people here, members today. And we're trying to make sure that we get action taken by the County Council urgently to stop the pollution, ongoing pollution of the lake. There's approximately 60 tonnes of nitrates a year going into the lake. And if it was 60 tonnes of oil, there'll be a lot of a fuss over that. But because it's underwater, a lot of people don't see the impacts on the lake. And we're trying to highlight it here today for the members of the County Council and get support to start more regular inspections and follow-up action where it's needed.
Right, your own party leader was down visiting, is that right?
The Green Party leader came down, yes, and former minister for biodiversity, because obviously it's having a big impact on the local area, which is supposed to be protected as a special area of conservation. But again, that legislation doesn't seem to be effective, so we're hoping now that what action will be taken under the Water Pollution Act, which can result in legal cases being taken where necessary. And again, it's the large-scale pollution is what we're trying to stop initially, and at least that will give maybe the lake a chance to recover. But if it's just ignored, nothing will change.
And where are we at since I last spoke to you? Well, I know John Moynihan spoke to you when I was on holidays, and I've spoken to Ger Carty, and I've spoken to other representatives as well. Where are the EPA in all of this? Are you dealing with them?
No, the County Council is gathering all those groups and agencies together. We're not involved in that, but we'd like to be very interested to know what's actually involved or intended in the plan. But they're working at that higher level, whereas we're trying to gather support either locally or across the county to basically just to, you know, that the County Council will focus on this problem. It seems to be intermittent action that's been taken, just inspections, you know, occasionally or maybe quarterly, but I think it needs far more inspections monthly or more often even.
There's a call for unified, joined up thinking. Are you willing to engage with other groups?
Yes, we'd be delighted to work with anybody who's interested in protecting the lake, especially particularly the local councillors who have maybe a lot of influence in the County Council. We have emailed them recently, but we haven't heard any response yet from them. And it's vital that the County Council, who is responsible for enforcing the water pollution legislation, takes more action on a more regular basis, because otherwise nothing will change and the pollution will just keep happening.
And where are we at since we last spoke about this?
We haven't made much progress, really. We're just trying to increase awareness that there's maybe 60 tonnes of fertiliser a year going into the lake. And if that was 60 tonnes of oil, you can imagine the rumpus that would go on. So we're trying now to focus on the County Council, that they take the action that they can do without anybody else having to have an input, whether it's the EPA or any other state agencies.
And you think there's a bit of politics at play here? Because of your link with the Green Party, and
I don't think so. To be honest, like I've left that outside the door. You know, that's not of interest to me. It's more important that, and it's not just even Ladies Island Lake. This is a national problem. The nitrates going into the water is happening everywhere. The River Slaney is badly affected, but because Ladies Island is a lagoon, the nitrates go into the lake and they can't get out. So the problem is seen there much quicker. But unfortunately, it's a symptom of what's happening everywhere. So that's one of the reasons we're doing it. It's a national issue more than just local.
Who have I got
I'm
here?
I'm Ciara Murphy.
All right, Ciara, talk to me how this is engaging you and why you feel so frustrated by this at the moment.
I just think this has been an issue that has been ongoing, that we've known about for about 40 years. There's reports going back to 1983. The lake is a really important part for everyone in Wexford and further afield. Those were the conversations we were having. We were gathering petitions, signatures down at the pilgrimage during the FLA. It's a site of religious significance for a lot of people, and you know, I'd hate to see us allow it to fall into ruin. It's really at a tipping point at the moment, so we want the council to act and to be transparent about their actions and to give us the information that we think the public deserve to know about this local amenity.
Do you find it ironic that you're here today and there's another protest at the far end of the county again to do with the environment?
I do not find it ironic. I find it upsetting, but I mean, Wexford's waterways are in dire straits. It's not just the island. The beaches all summer, Wexford County Council have been putting, you know, no swim, no. So I think we're in real trouble here. I think there's no top-down oversight, no transparency, no testing. And it seems to me that with things nationally like the Blackwater fish kill, that every single agency that is meant to be looking after our lived and natural environment is shirking their responsibilities and saying, not my job.
So there's a lot of dialogue but very little action?
So it seems. And the action that we're told is happening, that we've been promised, the details on that are scant. So that's what we're looking for here. We want Wexford County Council to enforce the Water Pollution Act, to be transparent about the details of their action plan, where funding is being allocated to, and to start testing monthly the feeder streams for Ladies Island Lake.
I got an immediate reaction from one of the councillors heading into the meeting. It was Sinn Féin councillor Aoife Rose O'Brien.
Well, I think that's very disappointing, Alan, to see this
case progressing into such an extreme situation. I think that of all of the reports that I've read, this should have been avoided a long time ago, and I'd like to see the council taking adequate action on it now to ensure that this is handled efficiently and that we have a solution provided for it.
And what is that action? Because Patter has just mentioned there that you need joined up thinking, unified thinking. Is it time for all bodies to get together on this?
Absolutely. Politics needs to be put aside for issues like this, Alan. And we need to come together as a community and as a county. And we would like to see everybody pulling fair weight on this now to make sure that we see an end to it.
We all know Our Lady's Island. We all visit Our Lady's Island. It's a beautiful spot. It's a spot of pilgrimage. But how bad is this affecting the area?
Well, I couldn't tell you, to be fully honest with you, Alan, but I know from speaking to the residents in the area, people are very distraught and they're very upset and they feel let down. And I suppose that's a failure from a lot of people going back for a couple of decades now. And we just need to make sure that this issue is resolved once and for all now for everybody affected.
So what do you think is going to happen next? How many more protests like this will take place?
Hopefully we won't have to see too many. Hopefully we don't have to rely on the goodwill of the people here today to come out and show their solidarity and show their commitment to the issue. Hopefully we can actually come up with a permanent resolution to this and ensure that things like this don't happen across the island, because we've seen this time and time again. So we need to make sure that our policies and procedures are actually accurate and preventing issues like this going forward.
And will you...
Yeah, that was Councillor Aoife Rose O'Brien. We're going to take a short break. That was protest number one. Protest number two was from the residents of Ballymanon and the odour issue in that area. We'll hear from them straight after this break.
South East Radio's Morning Mix, brought to you with thanks to Joyce's Expert Wexford. For all your outdoor living this summer, check out Joyce's barbecues, pizza ovens and patio heaters. More info at joyces.ie.
Looking for a Nugent trailer? Call Byrne Trailers Bunclody, your one-stop shop for sales, service and parts. We guarantee 12-month warranty on all new trailers sold. Phone 053 937 5580 or log on to burntrailers.ie for our full range. Byrne Trailers, the trailer people.
Hi, Ray Murphy here from Osoon Sleep Clonard Wexford. Do you suffer from lack of sleep due to neck, back or body pain? Then I can help you. Using our pressure mapping technology, I can identify the exact type of mattress and pillow that you will need to address your comfort needs. Remember, your sleep quality can seriously affect your overall health and well-being. So contact me now to avail of a free scan at 083-117-2909 or osoonsleep.com. That's osuansleep.com.
Home has always been a gathering place, shelter and sanctuary from the busyness of the world. It is where we invent the story of ourselves. Hi, Anya here from Enniscorthy Credit Union. If you are looking to improve your home, we have a range of home improvement loans to suit all budgets. So for all your dreams that are big, small or strange, we've got you covered. Talk to us first. We like to say yes.
Loans are subject to approval. Terms and conditions apply. If you do not meet the repayments on your loan, your account will go into arrears. This may affect your credit rating, which may limit your ability to access credit in the future. Enniscorthy Credit Union Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hi, Seamus here from Mr. Isle. It's getting cold out there. Why not let Mr. Isle heat you up? You can order online 24/7 at MrIsle.ie. That's MrIsle.ie. Or phone us on 053-924-0534. Well, our staff are happy to help. Our prompt delivery service will have you hot in a flash. Call Mr. Isle for your home heating aisle for service like no other.
All innovative. All inspiring. All yours. Discover the Audi 261 range with Audi All Access at your local dealership. Join us at our nationwide open house event from October 17th to 24th and experience exhilarating test drives, unmissable offers and exclusive product upgrades. Book a test drive with Audi All Access today. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik.
Farming Forum every Friday evening from 8. Join Southeast Radio's journalist Michael Doyle for a discussion of matters from farmyard to field and the challenges and changes that are facing farmers in their day-to-day work. Southeast Radio's Farming Forum, brought to you in association with Molloy Metal Recycling, Ballycarney, Enniscorthy and Raheem New Ross. Molloy Metal Recycling, the scrap metal experts, turning your scrap metal into money.
chat, news and your views. South East Radio's Morning Mix.
In a little while we'll get a direct response to the three key issues that we are covering in the Morning Mix from the council meeting yesterday. Issue number three then, but very much high on the agenda for the people of Ballymanon, is the ongoing older issue. And first of all, I spoke to Brian.
It's 2 years. 2 years, Alan, Two years.
Has anything changed, Brian?
Not a bit. Let's say things have got worse, if anything.
Yeah.
You know, we use the same words. It's frustrating. It's confusing. We're back down here again, trying to get some action from the councillors there. We've got some support from our chairman there, Joe Sullivan. He came down and spoke to us there, and he's aware of the problem, which is a major problem, not just affecting the Ballymanon Hill area. It's the complete Gorey area, so it is. And it's just not good enough at this stage, really, you know, to have to come back down here again.
Well, in defence of Joe Sullivan, I mean, I'm neutral, but I've been here at most monthly meetings, and I'd say he's raised it at least 8 times since the last time you and I spoke about it.
He's been a great ambassador for our cause, but like, realistically, he shouldn't have to be bringing it up as well. No more than we should have to be coming down here to Wexford County Council.
George, we met before as well,
indeed.
George, just give us the core issue of this problem. What is this problem?
This problem is so bad that you cannot get away from it. We have never, ever been able to put washing out. We have never had outside birthday parties for our kids when they were growing up. And I have two kids that if they come back, well, they're young adults now, if they come back, they look like myxomatosis rabbits after about 24 hours when they're at home, because it gets into their eyes, it causes them to cough. It's a problem that actually affects ordinary people every day of the week and does not go away, and it affects the head as well. You get it night and day.
And what is your understanding of the problem? What is the problem?
Money won't be spent in the right direction. Money is spent for increase of production, but will not be spent for actually correctly solving this problem. Now, look, at no matter what you do, nothing will ever be 100%. But if it's 80 or 90% better than what it is, life will be worth living.
I know we've focused in on this, but maybe some of the people here assembled with me can explain. It's a smell, isn't it? Who feels most confident? Yeah. Your name?
My name is Austin Hearn.
Hi, Austin. Nice to talk to you. So can you explain just the technical side of this? What is this smell?
Well, I wouldn't be able to give you a technical... I wouldn't be able to explain technically what smell is like, but it's acrid. It's violent. It's the smell of death, is all I can say. It's the smell of absolute... smells of like animal waste, and it affects everything. It affects your nose, it affects your taste, it affects your breathing.
When did you most recently go through it?
It depends on what way the wind is actually blowing. So I think sometime in the last few days it affected me and my house where I am. And it's that bad that if you have all the windows and doors, like you can be in the house and can have all the windows open and ventilating the house like any normal person would do, and then all of a sudden this smell will creep into the house and you have to run around closing all the windows and doors. But on a good day, if you have all your windows and doors even closed, locked closed, it will creep in. It will get into the smallest, finest little crack in your windows or doors or wherever. And if it gets in, it gets in. You just want to get out of the house. You don't want to be there. Like, so it affects your day-to-day use of your home and your garden. And it's just not acceptable. It's offensive. We just know... it's Walsh mushrooms and custom compost pasta are sending out a message loud and clear that they do not care about the local community. So, and they're doing nothing to mitigate or help or anything. So it's, you know, we're just getting two fingers up from the Walsh mushroom.
And there were suggestions put forward and there were possible technical solutions. Where were you then?
I don't know. I'm not sure what happened with that. I know that there was...
Yeah, Brian,
If you go over the road to our neighbours over in Arklow, they've got a sewerage treatment plant built and it's out on the quays on the pier in Arklow, and it's there and there's not a whiff of an odour coming from it. I've been over there, I've seen it. So it is possible to solve this problem, so it is. But it's a case of spending the money.
Yeah.
And it's where you take it up from that.
Have there been any advancements made in that 2-year period? None?
No. None. And as I said to you before, if anything, it's got worse. Really bad, really quite bad.
Nolan, you brought me along here. You invited me to come here today, yeah, and it hasn't gone away. The problem hasn't gone away, no. Nor has the support of the people.
No, it hasn't. I mean, there's a large group here today, as you can see, and we all feel the same about it. It impacts all of our homes and our lives and our families that visit us. We can't enjoy our homes day, night, whenever. Summer, we were absolutely stunk out of it in July and August. I mean, lovely weather. We had to keep our doors and our windows closed. And as Austin says, even with that, it's still creeps in. You're kind of lighting candles all over the place, can't put your washing on the line. You're embarrassed to have people, even your family, there. You know, they know what it's like, they know what we're going through. And we've been made promises like all over the years. Back in 2012, plan of permission was given, and this whole thing was going to be covered in. That didn't happen. Plan of permission was extended. Then we had to deal with COVID. 8 years.
So you were given assurances, were you?
We were brought to a public meeting in the Ashton Hotel back in 2012 and asked would we not object to the planning permission, and if we didn't, that, you know, here's a lovely 3D model of the premises, we're going to enclose it all, we probably won't the smell won't be gone completely, but it'll certainly be reduced, and this will be good for everybody. But that hasn't happened. They extended their planning permission. They've done nothing since. Spent money on production, but as far as we know, they haven't certainly enclosed the building, and we're dealing with a worse problem now than what we were even going back.
And why protest outside the main council building?
Well, because the council have dragged on for years with it. They've never come to grips with it. There's over 22 planning permissions there. Like, this premises started in 1980, but the whole thing really came to being in probably 98, 99, when it was closed down in Gowrie, because the councillors and everybody, it suited to get it out of the town and stick it out in the country where there's only a few houses. But you forget this.
About how many people are affected by this? Families?
Well, there's about 50 houses, and then some multiply them just even by two people, you know, in a house, and there's more than that in households. You know, but like, there's generations of families there. There's people there that have farmed all their lives, and like, our family are the fifth generation. My husband's great-grandmother lived in that house. So why should we have to put up with that? Like, just to, you know, it's a profit before...
It does give a lot of employment, doesn't it? Yeah,
I'm sure it does, and I don't deny anyone that, but equally don't deny us of the right to enjoy our homes. I don't mind. They can make as much money as they want, but they need to cure the problem.
Right, so ultimately, what are you looking for from this, as I said...
We're looking for the council to push on and to do what they should do and protect the citizens of the county and our area. That's what they're there for. We're paying our taxes, our property tax, everything, yeah. You know, but our homes and our lives have been totally spoiled.
Nolan from Ballybunion rounding off the third of our three issues that we said we'd focus in on the council meeting yesterday. We're going to get a response to all three from the Director of Services, Eamon Hoare, after this break.
South East Radio's Morning Mix, brought to you with thanks to Joyce's Expert Wexford. Nespresso coffee machines consistently deliver the perfect cup of coffee. Browse all Nespresso machines in-store or online at joyces.ie.
Heating Insulation Limited, Castlebridge. Experts in all types of insulation, soundproofing, air tightness and heat recovery ventilation for new and existing buildings. Grants available for insulation upgrades for houses built prior to 2011. Phone 053 915986.
Pet loss is a tragic event and can be overwhelming. Earth to Heaven is a family-run pet crematorium based just outside Enniscorthy. Our individual service is the perfect way to say goodbye in our peaceful farewell room. We can collect from your home or your vet, plus guarantee your pet's ashes will be returned to you within 5 days. Earth to Heaven, Brownswood, Enniscorthy. Details on earthtoheaven.ie or phone 087 966 1261.
Enniscorthy VTN Centre at Windmill Autos Dunanore, Enniscorthy. Testing vans, jeeps, campers, trucks, trailers, buses and fast tractors. Tachograph and plating centre. Phone 053 923593.
Visit the award-winning Aroma Beauty Pod in Tesco Wexford for expert wax roots waxing, threading and nail treatments. celebrating 10 years in business and 20 years of excellence at Aroma Beauty Laser and Skin Clinic, a serene rural retreat just outside Wellington Bridge. Now offering advanced treatments for skin tags, broken veins and pigmentation. Explore more at aromabeauty.ie.
The world-famous Hook Lighthouse is open 7 days per week. Discover the majestic scenery of the Hook Peninsula, relax by the sea and enjoy some delicious snacks from the award-winning cafe. With its pirate playground, eco-education station and outdoor exhibits, there's lots to enjoy for all the family at Hook. See hookheritage.ie for more.
Meet Louise. She made big savings on her car insurance when she made the switch to OutSurance.
Hi, I'm Louise. It's true, I saved €212 when I made the switch. And with the Out bonus, I'll get 10% of my premiums back in cash after 3 years claim-free.
Happy days. For a competitive car insurance quote like Louise's, call 1-800-600-400 or visit outsurance.ie. Real people, unreal savings. OutSurance. You always get something out. Based on a like-for-like policy comparison, the customer received a gratuity for their participation. Out bonus calculated less taxes and levies. Exceptions criteria, terms and conditions apply. Car and home insurance is underwritten by OutSurance DAC. OutSurance DAC, trading as OutSurance, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hey, local business owners, need help taking payments? Well, there's a whole world of transactions powered by Elavon, proud sponsors of the world-famous Wexford Opera Festival. So whether it's helping side hustlers hit the high notes or big businesses keep in perfect harmony, Elavon sets the stage for all businesses to perform. To find out more, visit elavon.ie. Elavon, supporting business in the Southeast for 25 years. US Bank Europe DAC, trading as Elavon Merchant Services, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
As the days get shorter, the kids get back to school, and we start to make our homes a little cozier. We're all looking for smarter ways to save. Electric Ireland can help get you there. Switch to our best smart meter plan and save up to 30%. Visit electricireland.ie. EAB €1,183 based on 12-month home electric plus SST saver electricity. Discounted unit rates with online billing, direct debit and VAT. Smart meter required, subject to change. T's and C's apply.
Southeast Radio's Morning Mix. Southeast
Radio. By the way, I have contacted Custom Comcast and are offering them the right of reply either by email or to come on air and talk to us to give their view on the situation in Ballymanon. But now it's amongst the three items I mentioned that I was going to discuss with Director of Services of Wexford County Council, Eamon Hoare.
Good morning, Alan.
Long meeting yesterday. It went on well after 6 o'clock, but a lot of issues discussed. I'm going to look at three of them. First of all, the first item I raised this morning in the programme about the concerns over the bylaws, the Wexford County Council explosive bylaws for the Port of New Ross. Now, the motion was carried, it was passed, but as we've heard from Councillor John Dwyer, he's very concerned about it.
Yeah, Alan, and that's what the forum in the council is for, is to discuss these matters. And as I said at the council meeting yesterday, that it was on public display for consultation on our portal for 5 weeks during July and August. With two detailed submissions, one from Councillor Dwyer, both concerning safety concerns, but particularly mentioning Ireland's neutrality. But again, as you saw, there was a clear majority in favour after the extensive discussions. Now, again, as to our Defence Forces, look for this on the basis that they may need it. But again, there's all these safety aspects there where you do need a licence, that you can't come in to the port without a licence. And many of the ports in Ireland already have bylaws in place. And we looked at the bylaws of other similar ports and there hasn't been any issues. And again, we need to build up the business in the port of New Ross. So, and again, we're helping out our defence forces. So, as I say, it was a request from our defence forces with the sanction of the Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan.
And when will it be utilised? When does this come into play?
Well, the bylaws were officially passed now yesterday, but then it actually may never be used, but it's just that the bylaws are there. And if it is to be used, we get notification well in advance, and there'll be licenses issued, and we put in place then what's needed to be put in place. So it was just, as I say, a request from the Defence Forces saying that they may need to bring in materials through the port in New Ross, and I suppose we're happy to assist in that regard.
two areas that Councillor John Dwyer raised were it's a built-up area, and also he was concerned about the security, and he gave examples of other ports that he had worked in, and he doesn't believe New Ross is as secure. In relation to both those issues, can you allay people's fears?
Yeah, well, there are limiting distances which we will comply with, and for residential properties, the minimum limiting distance is 228 metres, and it's not within that limiting distance. And in relation to security, for any deliveries that may come in, the Defence Forces will be present for any deliveries, specifically for the Defence Forces, and the Armed Gardaí will be there for any other deliveries. They'll be present for all consignments. So we meet all the requirements, and again, we don't intend storing any materials to come in and then they're delivered straight away. That would be the plan.
Two protests outside the council chambers yesterday. The first one I look at is the Save Ladies Island Lake campaign. They handed over its paper petition signed by over 1,100 members of the public. This was also raised at the meeting itself. What is your view and where does the council stand on the latest developments there, please?
Well, Alan, I had a look at the petition last night, and believe it or not, there was at least 25 counties where petitions were signed, and at least seven countries. So there's great support for Ladies Island. Obviously, an awful lot of people know about Ladies Island. It could be due to its, I suppose, pilgrimage, and it's just such a wonderful area as well. So obviously, the clear report by the EPA, I suppose, is what started this latest effort to restore Ladies Island Lake. And we were delighted when that report came out to highlight it. As you know, we were up at an Oireachtas committee, and we as Wexford County Council offered to take the lead on this. So since that date, we've had four meetings with the steering group, which includes all the major players in this: the Department of Housing, Department of Agriculture, TAGISC, Law Pro, ourselves. And there was a clear commitment given we've done a business case, so there will be funding to help restore Ladies Island Lake. There will be dedicated staff to restore it. Since June, when we were at the Oireachtas Committee, I think we've met 40% of the farmers in the catchment so far, and we've started our septic tank review. So I've great hope that this will be a project that will maybe guide other projects, because if you listen to the, I was listening to the EPA report there this morning, and a lot of water bodies are deteriorating, and they specifically mentioned the southeast, but that's because we've great land down here and great productivity. So there's a lot of things we have to look at, and we had a meeting with the IFA last week as well. IFA are on board, and it's important that all the bodies, including the IFA and the local people, the local committee there, we've met with them. So I think this will be a successful project, and looking forward to the restoration of the lake over years.
And you welcome the petition by all accounts there, and you welcome the multiplicity of countries, etc. So obviously the campaign is working.
We'd started long before the petition, but the petition, like everything else, adds weight to it. And as I say, I expect an announcement from the government after the budget in relation to funding, which is clearly going to be needed to restore the lake. So, and any support we can get, I'd welcome it very much.
And finally, in this look back at three of the main items, and there were many other items raised as well, and fair play to the Cathaoirleach, he broke it down into sections, so he covered everything from roads to the environment, etc. We'll go through that in detail over the coming days. Ballymanon, I mean, what I mentioned there, it's a bit like Groundhog Day. It was almost identical to about 2 years ago when I did the same type of interview outside the council buildings. Their frustration is growing, Eamon, and yet it was raised by the Cathaoirleach yesterday, and there, you may have some breaking news for the representatives and the residents of Ballymanon. What is it?
Well, believe it or not, Alan, I listened to your interview in April 2023 last night before I came on here. And as you say, it doesn't look like there has been any progress, but in fact there has. There will be a case in the High Court. We hope to get a date within the next 4 to 6 weeks. We've carried out two detailed odour assessments, one last year and one this year, to update it. We've affidavits from a number of people, because they tell the story better than anybody. And our barrister has confirmed that he's gone through those affidavits. He's 80% through his grounding affidavit, which is very detailed. It's a very complex case. case, but that grounding affidavit goes back over to 30 or 40 years. So hopefully we will have a date in the High Court within the next 4 to 6 weeks, and we'll see what happens in the High Court then, and hopefully it'll bring some resolution to the long-suffering people.
And what exactly are you calling for, Eamon? And what exactly can you say to the people of Ballymanon who are listening this morning? What exactly is in that affidavit? Are you allowed to share that with me because of the legal element of it?
No, to be fair, well, the three of the affidavits are written by the locals themselves, so you can imagine what's in that, because they've expressed it very well over the years about the toxicity and the fact that some people have to leave their homes. So that definitely, and I think that human element of it will be very important in the court case. Ours is quite technical because we have to prove technically that there is an odour problem. So that they're the differences between the technical reports and the affidavits there and the human interest, which I think will resonate with everybody.
Director of Services of Wexford County Council, Eamon Hoare. We head to the news with Siobhan coming up after it. We link in with Angara Síochána a little bit later than usual. And Independent Councillor Jack Sirones is calling for the return of the... And those viewers are welcome. Pick up the phone and give us a call on 053 914 5222, or text or WhatsApp us in association with Doyle's Garage, Cortown, Nennis Garthy, your main MG dealer for County Wexford, on 087 373 7956. Now, a little bit later than usual, listening came with Angara Síochána on our regular Tuesday spot, and I'm joined by Sergeant Eddie Wilde. Good morning, Teddy.
Good morning, Alan.
It's amazing, but I was talking about Groundhog Day in another item earlier. This seems to be Groundhog Day. Burglaries in Wexford, it's on the agenda again for this week, Eddie. What's happening?
Yes, Alan, we've had 5 burglaries in Wexford over the last week. It's that time of year now, we have to get more vigilant. We had one in Rosslare, one in Wexford, one in Bunclody, and one in New Ross. So they're very well spread around. But I'm going to focus on one in particular. On Wednesday the 8th of the 10th at Redmond's Car Sales, Ballycarney, between the hours of 9 p.m. on the 8th and 9 a.m. on the 9th, a burglary happened there, and a number of tools were taken, and a number of cars were damaged by removing catalytic converters. So this sort of thing will have a big impact on the business. And we'd ask everyone in the area that may have been around or driving through the area on that night. I remind people there, it was between 9 p.m. on the 8th of the 10th and 9 a.m. on the 9th of the 10th. So if anyone has any information or has driven through the area and may have dash cam footage, please contact Enniscorthy Garda Station on 053 924 2580.
Yeah, I haven't heard the converters the topic being raised. Is that a regular ongoing situation, Eddie, or is it back on?
It's something that does happen in lots for people targeted for them. It's obviously they have a market for it, and it does happen. So it's really important that there's an awareness raised. It can be taken off car quite quickly with people knowing what they're doing. So we really want to tie down maybe who's doing this and see can we identify them and maybe stop it before it becomes more serious.
And would you have footage or video footage that would help in situations like this?
Well, it depends. This is obviously an ongoing investigation. Mm. We will be seeking anyone that has video footage, even people who live locally, maybe to look at it and see if they captured anything unusual or anyone passing a strange time.
Yeah.
It can be very, very helpful.
So it's Ballycarney, and the time of that one again, please, Eddie.
Between 9 p.m. on the 8th of the 10th and 9 a.m. on the 9th of the 10th.
Right, let's move on to Operation Thor and the winter phase. What is this?
Yes, very relevant now after the last bit there, Alan. Look, it started on the 1st of October. It's a targeted operation activity that runs through every year since 2015. And it's aimed at basically enforcement operation aimed at preventing burglars from exploiting the reduced hours of daylight. And that's done through focused checkpoints and targeted patrols. Now, international trends would indicate that there's a 20% increase in the winter months and a spike in burglaries. Now, overall, in Ireland, there's been an ongoing reduction in residential burglaries and a 50% reduction in the number of burglaries over the summer phase of 2025 compared to 2024. And in the last 6 months alone, there's 900 arrests have been made for burglaries. Now, we locally do want to highlight that we really recognise that even one burglary is too much and has a lasting impact on every person whose home has been burgled, and it can extend to their family and their wider community. So it's really important that people understand if they have been victims, we really, really empathise with them. And I understand when you hear statistics and you're on the wrong side of statistics, it can really, really hurt. Yeah. But look, what can people do? We'd ask people to lock up and light up. That's our campaign we run every year when it comes to this time of the year. The majority of burglaries take place in vacant homes, so it's really important to show signs of occupancy in houses. And that's both when you're in the house and when you're not in the house. So we'd ask people to use maybe low-cost LED lighting and use timer switches that show lights coming on and off around the house. That's very important because burglars look for the easiest route, look for the handy gate. So what they're looking at is maybe a house is empty. And a real big problem we have, Alan, is people need to not leave windows open or doors unlocked. We have a huge amount of burglaries that are in through unsecured windows and doors. And that's something that we really have to work on. And it's the same, you hear me regularly talking about unlocked cars. There's no point in, you know, shutting the gate with the horse after bolting. You can spend a bit of time on making sure your house is locked up and you have lights coming on and off. And you know, small things like that can make a big, big difference in the risk of you being a victim of burglary.
Now, driving under the influence, arrests over the past week, are they up or down? What's the story, Eddie?
Well, we've had 11 arrests, Alan, over the last week. We've had 2 arrested in Enniscorthy. We had 3 arrested in Goree. And we've had 6 arrested around Wexford. And I want to get the message out there that Gardaí will continue to be active in the coming months. And we'd ask people not to drink and drive. And it's not just to focus on being arrested. It's focus on the consequences and how devastating it can be if you have an accident. You could hurt yourself or someone else. And that even goes to extend into the morning after a night out. We want people now coming into the time of Christmas parties and things like that to realise that if you consume alcohol at a high level at night time, you can still be over the limit in the morning after. So it's really important that message gets out there. The Gardaí will be active, but there's also the consequences that can happen even if you never come across the Gardaí.
11 is high number, isn't it, Eddie?
It is high, and 6 around Wexford, you know, but it's, you know, in fairness, the traffic units are very, very active there at the moment. The Ross Police, and they're out there, and, you know, they're regularly setting up these operations to target people that are drink driving. And, of course, the operations that are going to be carried out as part of Operation Tor will also catch some of these people as well. So, you know, the presence is there. People need to be aware of it.
Winter driving conditions, we haven't come quite into it yet, but the evenings are getting darker quicker, and that does bring problems.
It does indeed, Alan. And you have the issue where people just need to check their tyres, check the levels in their engine, prepare for the winter months to come on, slow down and drive appropriately. Look, as the road surfaces change, you need to give yourself increased braking distance for wet, foggy and icy conditions. And in particular at the moment, it's something that's often underestimated by young drivers in particular, is the amount of leaves on the ground. You know, you come around the corner now and you're trying to stop maybe, and there's a big pile of leaves. It's as bad as being on ice. So I would actually ask older drivers to maybe take this on and talk to young drivers about it, because they're just not as tuned in about the impact that leaves and greasy ground will have on them, you know. Mm-hmm. And everyone, just leave early enough in the winter. You know, don't leave things tight and be rushing. Give yourself a good time for travelling. And I always say the responsibility is on all road users. Obviously, the vehicle drivers have a huge responsibility. Mm-hmm. But people who are on bicycles need to ensure that they're wearing high-vis clothing and they have lights on their bikes, both front and rear. And people that are walking on roads or running on roads need to have high-vis clothing on them as well. Especially on country roads, I say to people, if cars are coming towards you, especially around bends, I'd step off the road myself. You take control of the situation and don't presume that you're going to be seen in time. Yeah. Always do as much as you can to keep yourself safe.
We'll finish off on yet another success story. This time is the seizure in the port. What a seizure.
Yeah, look, yesterday, Monday the 13th of October, it was part of an intelligence-led operation targeting serious crime, and a joint operation was carried out by the Garda National Drug and Organised Crime Bureau and Revenue's Customs Service. A truck and trailer was stopped and searched, and this search led to a very elaborate lead line concealment within the fuel tank being discovered. And approximately 150 kilograms of cocaine was discovered within the vehicle. And this has an estimated street value of 10.5 million. A male in his 50s was arrested and investigations are ongoing. So look, this is part of the Garda Operation Tara. Great work has been done locally by the Garda and the Customs and nationally by the Gardaí and their partner organisations like the Customs. I'd reinforce the huge impact that the public make on the investigation of drug offences. Even the smallest bit of information received can eventually lead to a very big seizure and arrest. And I'd encourage people, if they have any information about drug sales in their area, that if they contact the Garda confidential line on 1-800-666-111. And I always like to highlight that, Alan, because people sometimes make calls and they feel that what they've rang in maybe wasn't dealt with. But there's a bigger operation than they know. Gardaí are always putting bits and pieces together, And sometimes these sort of things can lead to the big seizures that they hear about.
Thank you for taking our call, Eddie. And we'll be revisit on Garda Síochána again next Tuesday at the regular time of 10:45. Now, in a few moments' time, we're going to link in with Olive Barrett. It's National Lottery Good Causes and the wonderful success of Happy Trails. But before I do that, let's hear from Councillor Jack Sorones. I got a chance to speak to him during the short coffee break at the council meeting yesterday. First of all, he wanted to refer to the situation in Dunkermak and the mattress, which we also discussed with Deputy George Lawler yesterday on the programme. Jackson had this to say.
I did, and I was talking to Margaret this morning, the mother this morning, and the mother said she cannot buy this mattress. This had to be a special mattress. It was then 10 years ago from HSE, and this mattress can't be bought. Now, young Joss, on verbal and autism, and they didn't give him the mattress because it wasn't bedbound. I just can't believe this statement, right? So the mattress has not arrived today. It's more than 10:30. But it's on the way, we understand. But the reason people said on your programme that why didn't she buy the mattress, I asked her the question this morning. There's no point in me buying a mattress because it wouldn't last a week. It would be all wet the whole time.
It's a specialist mattress.
Specialist mattress that he had to get from HSE. And that's the reason I spoke to her this morning.
But they have been upset by some of the comments that have been heard.
Well, the woman told me this morning, yeah, well, that's the reason I asked her today why. She said, we have to get a special mattress. It's 5 foot in distance. I was talking to Margaret this morning. I asked her this morning, did the mattress arrive? She said, no, not yet, but it's on the way.
Yeah.
Thanks be to God for Joss at 23 years of age. Councillor Deputy Lawler, for the reason was that he mentions in the Dáil, right? And the first minute he mentioned, Simon Harris couldn't believe that. And he got it for, made a phone call. It was Deputy Lawler who made the phone call, who brought up a doll, and the mattress was there. Mm. Now, I want to give another thing here too. I was disappointed that I couldn't get... There's no one seemed to know who took down the Irish flags off the Seamus Rafter Bridge on Friday morning. Why they were taken down, no one knows. I don't know. There's no one knows here anyway.
So these flags have been up for St Patrick's Day?
Brought for a lot of things in Enniscorthy, right? This is our own flag, right, Irish flag. Why they were taken down, I was told it was management. They told me there it wasn't these, so who would come down? Yeah. You know, it wasn't the workman's fault.
How much of an issue has that been raised with you?
Oh, an awful issue in Enniscorthy. Why the flags were taken down, right? An issue, emails, phone calls, what has happened?
You raised it here, I heard you there, so what's going to happen with it now?
Well, I hope to go back up, right? And I don't know the reason. Seemingly did. People on the top table don't know where they're taken down. Mm. So if they don't know on top of them, why you need to go back up? They're dear.
And when is your next district meeting?
It's on next Tuesday.
Right, so will you raise it up then?
I raise it up again next Tuesday, yeah.
And are people within the area wanting the flags to go
they
back up?
They want the flags to go up because they're their own. They're more colours. We're Irish people. Mm. We're Irish flag.
And just for people who don't know where these flags are and
have them. The flags are on the Seamus Rafter Bridge.
Yeah.
And has been. Every one of them is taken down on Friday morning at 11 o'clock.
Flags, the Wexford flag has been on the New Ross Bridge. You see various flags on the Wexford Bridge.
But the question people are asking, why is the Irish flag being taken down? Mm. That's the question people, right? Mm. We have flags for Wexford, Holland and all, that's no problem. But the question people said to me, why are they taking down our flag?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not right.
Just getting back to Margaret's situation, is that when I spoke to Deputy Lawler about this, he said it was more than just one mattress, it's the whole... idea that there could be many more people suffering in a similar way.
I want to say to you, I talked to Margaret this morning. Margaret highlighted this, right? Mm. And many more people in Ireland is going through the same situation, and we don't know.
Yeah.
At 23 years of age, also, unverbal, right? Mm. Lying in a wet mattress, right? Can't tell him when he wants to go to the toilet, right? And this mattress is 10 years, right? And the HSE sent down word, when they rang her, she thought he was bedbound, right? Now, how would someone lie in that? You know what I mean? So, I'm delighted that George brought it up. I'm delighted the lady is getting her mattress for her son.
But you want people to be more understanding.
I want understanding that it cannot be bought.
Yeah.
That's what you told me.
And there you have it, Councillor Jack Sirone's looking back at the mattress issue, but also making a point there about he would like to see, he's going to raise the issue. I think he'd like to raise the flags back up in Seamus Rafter Bridge. Are you in the Enniscorthy area? What do you make of that? Would you like to see the flags back up there? Or are you in favour of the flags being removed? Or can you solve the mystery as to why they were removed? Because to Jack Sir and to many other people yesterday, it seemed to be a great mystery. Can the mystery be solved? Maybe you can shed some light on it. We'd love to hear from you. 053 91 45222, text or WhatsApp us on 087 373 7956. Up next, we're celebrating the incredible impact of the National Lottery Good Causes. This year's awards recognise organisations and individuals making a real difference in communities across Ireland, from health and education to arts, sport and heritage. Among the 35 national finalists is Happy Trails, honoured for their outstanding work in therapeutic riding and community support. And Olive Barrett, the founder of Happy Trails, joins me now. Good morning to you, Olive.
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Well, congratulations on being named a national finalist for the National Lottery Good Causes. What does the recognition mean for Happy Trails and the people you support?
Yeah, it's just fantastic, absolutely fantastic, because for a small little family business, non-profit, to be recognised, to be brought to the national finalist is just amazing. You know what I mean? It just makes us feel now that what we do is being recognised. So it's fantastic.
You know, like nearly 30 cents of every €1 spent goes back to good causes in areas such as sport, youth, health, welfare, education, arts, heritage and the Irish language. So how does it feel to see the work you've built being acknowledged on a national stage?
Yeah, well, look, so every day what we do is we go out our door and we have the best animals and we just work with, we don't see any labels, nothing. We just go out, do our job, treat people exactly the same and to make sure their kind of time is enjoyable and to keep them safe, of course. And like, I think 2024, 239 million was raised and went to different kind of projects and communities around Ireland, you know, and that helps, it really does help, because a lot of places don't really get funding, and you know, you kind of have to, for us, we would have to do fundraisers, because, you know, winter's a hard time trying to, you know, pay for bedding and haylage and all of that and everything else that comes with it. So, I mean, having these, us as being recognised of the work that we do, and if we do win or whatever, it's going to make a huge and have a huge impact on Happy Trails.
What was the inspiration behind Happy Trails for you, Olive, and the focus on therapeutic riding?
Well, as I suppose an animal lover myself, and I just absolutely adored horses from, I think, the time I was in the pram. And through sort of difficult times in my life, I've always ended up somehow gravitating towards horses. Personally, my own mental health would have been impacted at certain ages of my life. And that really kind of made me aware that, listen, I'm doing so much better being around horses, that how can I bring that to other people? And really, that's what it is. And also, you know, when you look at people, we see them as human beings, we see them as people. We don't see the wheelchairs or the brain, we don't see nothing. Everybody's treated as a person, you know. So that's kind of, we want to keep doing what we're doing. And as I say, with the likes of this award and the recognition that we're already getting, it's just, you know, it's just fantastic.
And the combining of caring for rescued horses with creating a supportive environment for the riders, and you've talked about how you like to look after the riders, but you're also looking after the horses. And where did the horses come from? Where have you rescued them from?
God, all over, scattered in every little county in Ireland. So we would have My Lovely Horse Rescue, North Mayo Horse Sanctuary, we have the the Wexford ISPCA, and then a couple of stragglers in from County Clare and different places. Most all come with a story, you know what I mean? Every one of them comes with a story. And I think through our time and patience, we can prove that taking in rescue horses and giving them the best life, but also make sure, we ensure that we keep our horses until their last day on this earth. We don't shove them off, and you know, when we're done with them, our kind of belief is they stay with us, they've done their job, and we will see them to the very end. So yeah, definitely rescue horses for us anyway, personally, have been just amazing.
So obviously the National Lottery Good Causes funding has helped you grow and continue your work.
Yeah.
So could you give me an example of a program or a project that was only possible because of this funding?
Yeah, so I kind of see an area where kind of, look, we have a lady coming to us every week on a Friday, 84 years of age, horse riding. There seems to be a thing, not just in this country, but a thing when we get to a certain age, say, even myself, heading 59, that you think that when you get to 60, God, that's it now. There's nothing to look forward to ahead. It's kind of, you know, nursing homes. That's what you're thinking. But it doesn't have to be like that. And I think with the funding, I would love to set up something, a programme where people kind of over the age of 50 up to whatever, that can actually be out here, being around horses, being around the animals, and, you know, kind of get the benefits that everybody else gets. But there is that niche that, you know, because you have hit to a certain age, we all seem to become a little bit invisible. And I would love to actually make that change. And with the National Lottery, you know, funding, if we win it, this is certainly a project I want to do. But also young people as well. I think young people are kind of, there's a lot of kind of anxiety and they're kind of struggling through life, maybe due to COVID and the lack of social skills. Through kind of schools or programs through schools that you could come out kind of once a week and spend a morning and do stuff like that. So, yeah, there is lots of possibilities for us.
And the financial support beyond that, what does it mean for your organisation and your participants to know that the community backs your work and what you do in this way?
Yeah, well, I have to say, Alan, we've been blessed with the local shops in Enniscorthy, our parents, everybody has been so, you know, helpful when it comes to our fundraisers. Now, with this, if we win, so naturally enough, it's coming, we're thinking of our winter bills or winter haylage or winter bedding, which we need to kind of buy more. Just the running of the yard and, you know, to buy new equipment and stuff like that will make a huge difference. But also, we actually have a classroom and we'd just like to kind of upgrade that so we can work, do kind of workshops and stuff like that in it.
The stats are remarkable. Here's an interesting one. Since its establishment 37 years ago, the National Lottery has raised over 6.5 billion euro for good causes. Yeah. In 2024 alone, 239.3 million supported local communities across Ireland. I mean, that is just phenomenal, isn't it?
It is. And like 30 cents out of every euro when we kind of buy our lotto tickets, you know, 30 cents goes into that kind of fund. And realistically, the likes of us and others kind of in the smaller communities or whatever, we wouldn't be able to, you know, grow, or we wouldn't be able to kind of run programs without this kind of, you know, funding. And that's the reality of it, you know, because personally, anything that we kind of have to do, we would fundraise. And we would have parents, you know, always on board. And in fairness now, we have a beautiful sensory garden here that was done through GrowFundMe, and loads of kind of local people have helped with that, and one of our parents as well, Siobhan, got Aviva on board. So look, it's just going to make possibilities for lots of other things and to keep growing.
Yeah, well, it's lovely to talk to you, Olive. The awards take place this coming Saturday at the Killeshea House Hotel in Meath, County Kildare, so we wish you the very best of luck. And finally, how do you hope the recognition from the Good Cause Awards will impact your work and the people you support?
It just highlights, gives us that good feeling, you know, just, yes, we are making an impact. Yes, what we do, what those animals do for people. And, you know, getting to the finals in the National Lottery Awards is just fantastic. And sometimes we kind of have to pinch ourselves and say, God, they obviously have seen the impact of what we're doing to actually, you know, get us to the national finals. So it is huge. And we are definitely getting a lot more interest. There's a lot more phone calls and emails. So it's definitely highlighting Happy Trails. It's putting us on the map, as you say.
Lovely to talk to you, Olive. Wish you well. Happy story on a happy Tuesday. Happy Trails. Yeah. Wish you well. Good morning to you.
Thanks a million. Bye. Bye-bye.
It's coming up to 11:30. Do you fancy yourself being a bit of a crime writer? Well, stay tuned in because there's another big event taking place this weekend as well. And in a moment, we'll be talking to Sam Blake.
Southeast Radio's Morning Mix, brought to you with thanks to Joyce's Expert Wexford and Ninja at Joyce's. Discover innovative Ninja kitchen and outdoor cooking appliances in-store or online at joyces.ie.
Discover Centra Simple Savers, your go-to for great everyday value. Like selected meats, like Irish beef meatballs, 360 gram, any 3 for €10. Centra soft quilted toilet tissue, 18 rolls, €5.50. And Moretti 12 bottle pack, €16. Enjoy simple prices on all your favourites. Centra, live every day. Enjoy alcohol sensibly.
At SSE Electricity, we're more than just an energy provider. We're your business energy partner. From solar panels to energy audits and more, our expert business energy advisors will tailor a solution to make your business more energy efficient and sustainable. Switch to SSE Airtricity today and start building towards a net zero future. Our local customer service team are waiting to talk to you. Visit sseairtricity.com/business. SSE Airtricity. This is Generation Green.
My daughter is only 16, but she's so organised. She's already planning gifts from the Macaulay website, hair care for her aunt, and a fab fragrance for her granny. Buying one present a week from now till Christmas, which makes budgeting less stressful. I can buy in-store or online from Macaulay.ie for home delivery or free click and collect. So easy. Available in-store and online at Macaulay.ie. Gifts they'll cherish at prices you'll love.
With over 1,000 TFI local link door-to-door services nationwide, if you're on our route, we're on our way. To use the service, simply pre-book the day before you want to travel with your TFI local link office. To find out more about door-to-door services in your area, visit transportforireland.ie. We're Transport for Ireland. We're transport for you.
Hey, local business owners, need help taking payments? Well, there's a whole world of transactions powered by Elavon, proud sponsors of the world-famous Wexford Opera Festival. So whether it's helping side hustlers hit the high notes or big businesses keep in perfect harmony, Elavon sets the stage for all businesses to perform. To find out more, visit elavon.ie. Elavon, your world of payments. US Bank Europe DAC, trading as Elavon Merchant Services, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Southeast Radio's text and WhatsApp line, 087-3737-956. Brought to you in association with Doyle's Garage, Cortown and Enniscorthy. Make sure your car is ready for those busy school runs. Call one of our service centres today at Doyle's Garage, Cortown or Enniscorthy.
Chat, news and your views. Southeast Radio's Morning Mix.
Here's an interesting comment. A caller has just phoned in to say he counted 9 drivers on the phones yesterday evening. It was at a busy roundabout near Wexford Town. He says he took photographs of the drivers and one driver stuck his 2 fingers up at the caller. Driving behaviour is out of control and there's very little respect on the roads. Maybe that caller might like to talk to me. Wouldn't mind having a chat with them. 053-914-5222 is the Morning Mix comment line number. Now, just to remind you that things are getting spooky because Halloween is just around the corner. We've teamed up with Secret Valley to give you the chance to win a family pass for 4 to their full Halloween experience, and also thrown in is a pair of tickets to the nighttime scare experience for the adults. All you have to do is design your own scary mask, and if your mask is the best, you'll win the family pass. The Secret Valley Halloween experience includes daytime Halloween festival, Halloween Valley Town with spooky characters, the Witch's Village, the Corn Maze, the Adventure Hunt, the Tractor Ride, the Pumpkin Patch, full access to all zoo activities including meeting the animals, on-site cafe and food vans for tasty treats. And for the adults, brace yourself for the nighttime scare experience. What you need to do? Well, you need to design your own mask and send us a photo on WhatsApp to 087-3737-956, and we will announce the winner live on the show on Wednesday, October the 22nd. It's a while since I've been out to Secret Valley, so hello to all the team there. Lovely prize. Design the own mask, send us a photo on WhatsApp, and we'll announce the winner live on the show on Wednesday, October the 22nd. Now let's turn our attention to crime. Crime-fighting or crime-writing fans should get ready. Murder One, Ireland's international crime-writing festival, returns for its 8th year in Dublin from the 17th until the 19th of October. And let's hear from best-selling author and festival founder, Sam Blake.
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on.
Great to talk to you. We were talking off-air about your truly, my love for Agatha Christie, but this sounds really interesting. What's it all about, please, Sam?
So basically, it's a crime festival. It is for people just like you who are interested in reading crime, but also people who perhaps watch crime on TV and are really interested in finding more about it. So it's what we're doing is bringing as many crime authors as we possibly can, packing them into the Lexicon in Dunleary over the weekend after next. So it's 16th, 17th, and 18th of 19th as well of October. And it's a great opportunity for people to meet authors, to chat to them, to ask their questions, to discover new authors and new books, and also to learn a bit about writing, because we've got a whole day for writers as well.
How has crime writing evolved?
Well, I've been doing lots of interviews, and people have been asking about this explosion in Irish women crime writers, because that's something that's definitely happened, I suppose, in the last 10, 15 years. There's been a huge number of and a very successful Irish crime writers who are all women coming onto the scene. So it's evolved from that perspective. But the traditions are just the same as Agatha Christie. You know, the great whodunit, the page turner, we're all trying to write, you know, that gripping novel that will keep you hooked into the small hours. So from that perspective, it hasn't changed. But there are definitely new authors on the block. I think there are new authors on the block all the time. And I suppose one of the objectives of Murder One is to try and bring those authors to read.
Right. Talk to me about the quality of the writers that are coming as well, please, Sam.
Oh, they're brilliant. They're all bestsellers. So there's a lot of Irish bestsellers. Your favourites will be there. Andrea Mara, Catherine Ryan Howard, Jane Casey. There's some really great names there. And then we're bringing some English authors in as well. So Gillian McAllister, who is a million seller in the UK and all over the world, is coming. Chris Whittaker, who is amazing, and he's been on the New York Times bestseller list for about 20 weeks. He wrote All the Colours of the Dark. And we've also got Ruth Ware coming. And Ruth's Netflix drama, which is called The Women in Cabin 10, is literally dropping on Netflix on the 10th of October. So she'll be talking about that with Steve Kavanagh, and I think Adele Coffey's interviewing them. But it's going to be a really great weekend of, I suppose, a celebration of writing, but also a celebration of all things mystery.
What's the one thing about crime writing world that aspiring authors often don't realise? Is it very competitive? Is it very hard to get published?
It can be, but I think it is. Whatever genre you're writing in, it's hard to get published, because it's all about achieving that sort of that commercial standard. On Friday, we've got, so that's the 17th, we've got a whole series of workshops. I'm talking about publishing and getting published, because that's my area of expertise. I run writing.ie with a different hat on. We've got a couple of agents coming, and we've got an amazing professor from the University of East Anglia who's coming over to talk about plot and point of view. So achieving that, I suppose, that commercial level is the first thing. We tend to think, because we all learned we all read and we all learned did English in school and we all learned to write, that, you know, writing a book can't be that difficult. But in fact, there are an awful lot of techniques that you need to master, and it really is a craft. So serving your apprenticeship in the first instance is really, really important. And I think once you've done that and you've got the writing bit right, it becomes about plot, and regardless of your genre. But certainly there are lots of techniques that crime writers use, which writers of all genre can use, whether you're writing memoir or whether you're writing literary fiction. There are lots of things that we do that will help a reader through your story, I suppose.
Have you got memorable moments from past festivals? Maybe you could share one with us. Are deals done here? Are writers discovered?
Well, they can be, actually, because we bring agents over, and all sorts of aspiring writers are there, and they're chatting to them about it's a very sort of collegiate festival, so there's a lot of people there to chat to, and you can talk to. So the agents will be chatting to the aspiring writers, and I know some of them have pitched their book, and that the agents have been interested and wanted to look at manuscripts. But for me, one of the most memorable moments was Nick Heron, who people will be familiar with from Slow Horses. He was our closing act a couple of years ago, and he came over from the UK for it, and he said that Murder One was the best crime festival he'd ever been to. So that is my absolute highlight.
All right. Well, look, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. AI stories are on the rise. How important is it that the human touch in crime is not forgotten about? And how does the festival address this? Can you spot one?
Well, AI, if anybody's been watching the news, they will have seen my name linked very strongly to AI recently, because there is a Sam fake out there who got linked up to me on Amazon. And a lot of my readers were told that I'd written a new book, a romantasy book novel. Then I'm blessed that I have some very loyal readers who will automatically buy my books, but then unfortunately automatically bought the Sam fake book. AI is a very big issue for writers at the moment. There's a lot of lawsuits and all sorts of things going on. This is the opportunity for Murder One is for you to meet real authors who write real books, who have nothing to do with AI, who will be able to talk to you face to face and sign your books. So if people want to get their Christmas presents early, dare I say it, they can get signed books for people they love and who might want to be, you know, gripped into the early hours. AI is a big problem.
And the most important thing of all is that it's Dunleary's Lexicon Library and Cultural Centre is where it's at.
It is indeed, and the website is www.murderone.ie. So if you put Murder One into Google, you'll find us and you can get your tickets.
Southeast Radio's Morning Mix, brought to you with thanks to Joyce's Expert Wexford. Discover the latest Dyson products at Joyce's. Shop for Dyson vacuums, fans, purifiers, as well as Dyson hair bestsellers.
Today, TVs are smart, doorbells are smart, and phones are genius. So, shouldn't selling property be smart too? It is with Sherry Fitzgerald. With over 100 offices nationwide, Sherry Fitzgerald sell an amazing 50% more properties than other agents, as well as providing full transparency via their online selling platform, mysherryfitz.ie. Choose an agent with access to thousands of potential buyers on file. Sherry Fitzgerald Radford in New Ross and Wexford, and Sherry Fitzgerald O'Leary Kinsella in Enniscorthy and Gorey. Smarter selling starts here. Sherry Fitzgerald, the agent you'd recommend to a friend.
If you were a victim or survivor of sexual violence, you do not need to suffer on your own. Help is available to you. We spoke to Niamh from the communications team in Coon about supports available to all victims of sexual violence.
We want all victims and survivors of sexual violence to know that support is always here for them. You don't need to deal with this on your own, regardless of when it happened.
If you're looking for help and support in relation to sexual violence, contact your local sexual violence support centre on 1-800-33-0033.
Going to the opera? Make it a night to remember with pre-opera specials at the Farmer's Kitchen Hotel. Served from 3 to 6, starting 17th of October. Tuck into tasty dishes that change daily. Perfect before the curtain rises. And don't miss the crack at the kitchen. Our singing, swinging clubs night on Friday 24th at 11:30 p.m. Great food, great crack. Come join us this October at the Farmer's Kitchen Hotel on the Rosslare Road.
Hi, Alan Corcoran here. On Sunday, October the 26th, at 10 a.m, why not join me for a great morning of running, community spirit and support for two incredible causes, Wexford RNLI and the Wexford Special Olympic Sports Club, in association with the Manapians Athletic Club. Whether you're racing for a PB or enjoying the scenic route from Wexford Town to Ferry Carrick and back, this 4-mile road race is the perfect way to kick off your Sunday. Registration is now open. Go to southeastradio.ie and go to our events pages. Don't miss out. Secure your spot today. All proceeds go to supporting vital local services and athletes. Let's hit the road together.
Southeast Radio's Morning Mix.
Well, it's that festival time of the year again, and that's where we'll be this coming Friday in the Quayfront to welcome the 74th Wexford Festival. I hope I've got that right. I'll be criticised and pulled up on it very quickly if I'm wrong, but it's always a wonderful night. Fireworks, music and opera, and of course the very special fringe events, and amongst them are hits from the musicals. So I've got husband and wife Tony and Catherine Biddy Walsh here with me. Tony, of course, is very, very welcome and very, very well known, and Catherine Biddy Walsh, it's great to have you in studio, not wearing your political hat but wearing your light opera hat today.
Wearing the light opera hat, and on one of the rare occasions that the two of us are actually sitting in the same room
together.
Doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, no. busy time of the year for us, Alan, and which is fantastic. It always fills me with this, when you just mentioned there that the festival is actually opening on Friday, I go, oh, here we go, because the Hits from the Musicals is part, as you said, on a really integral part now of the fringe event of the festival. And I was just talking to Tony on the way down. This is our 30th year.
Wow.
30 years.
Yeah, 1996 was the first Hits. It was done as a one-night show to as a fundraiser for Chess, which was going to be a big, new, innovative show at the time and was going to require a lot of funds because it was technical stuff and all that. So they decided to do a Hits musical for one night in the Ferry Carrick. Started off, and here we are now, four nights in White's Hotel, sold out every year.
And before we look at what's in it, the show this year and the various artists, there was a bit of good news for three local groups yesterday. Maybe you'd like to share that with us. I know it was on South East Radio News, but in relation to the Mechanics Institute.
Oh yeah, Alan, it was just such a special, love the good news stories, because in Wexford Town yesterday morning, there was a great buzz outside the Mechanics Institute, because the Mechanics Institute,
just remind people
Street.
Because I'm thinking of people not in the Wexford Town area, but around the county listen to this.
So it's right across from Ann Street, across the road, and you see the two arches, and that's the Mechanics Institute. And it has been left kind of sadly unused for many, many years. And people, we pass it by every day and you don't even look at it. Now, I know it was used to sell tickets for Lantern at one stage, but now it is going to be the new home for some of the most important community groups in Wexford, that stage theatre, and the Wexford Drama Group, the Oyster Lane Theatre Group, and the Wexford Pantomime Society are going to now use it for rehearsal spaces, to store props, and to have, it's just a fantastic culmination of everybody's good faith in getting this premises back into use.
And how did that happen? How did you get across the line?
Well, I know that the groups themselves now have been looking for a home since the old Doomwera closed, and rightly so. They don't have somewhere. And the groups themselves have lobbied for this. And the County Council, being the community in the community department that it is, Dimpna O'Connor in the community office up there is wonderful. And our local district council as well, Anthony Bailey and Caroline Godkin and the team in town made this happen. But really, without the drive of those groups looking for somewhere, it probably would never have happened. Because in fairness to the district office, they went looking for a space and this was ideal. And as we speak, there are builders in there tearing it apart, all the debris and everything, and it's going to be their home.
So it could be functional when?
I would say like it's not that far away, because maybe in the next, I'm saying, putting it out there, maybe 6 months it could be in use, you know.
Well, it's another good news story, but the reason you're here, of course, is for Hits for the Musicals, and that is, as I said, one of those very special destination go-to venues during festival opera time. Tony, what's on the agenda for this year?
Well, there's a great programme, I must say. We've been busily rehearsing the chorus for the last several weeks now, and there's an awful lot of new stuff, but what I like about it is, aside from the choral stuff, which is beautiful, and some of these, although they might be newish, they sound familiar. Like, there's a couple of songs there. There's one from The Greatest Showman called One Brick at a Time, and it's very reminiscent of the old George M. Cohan stuff, you know. It's there's great big chorus belt out numbers, but also some great new talent coming along singing beautiful solos. Like, we have people like Isabella Caulfield, Niamh Cullen, Mairead Nolan, you know, young people coming up. So the future is very bright. That's what I would say.
And it all, of course, in this case, as you said, the first one was to kind of raise funds for Chess, which I saw was a wonderful, wonderful show. This year, I can't wait to see this production, because I've never seen it done on the stage of the National Opera House. And I saw what this, I love this director's work, Christine Scarry.
I think
she, to me, she's the number one in the country.
Yeah.
She did Phantom of the Opera.
But
she's going to do with Jesus Christ Superstar, I can only imagine.
Yeah, and can I just say, like, it's Her vision is incredible. Mm. And her newness to musicals like this one, like Jesus Christ Superstar. We had auditions on Sunday and there was a really, really fantastic buzz in that room. People came from all over, Alan.
Great turnout. To
really great 23 turnout.
23 turned up for Mary Magdalene, is that right?
Yeah, possibly, yeah. Yeah. And, wow. I wasn't one of them. I was going for the chorus myself. But the production team are wonderful. And we will start rehearsals for that as soon as the hits is over. Now, the other thing, Alan, is that we would not be putting on a show of the magnitude of Jesus Christ Superstar only for the hits from the musicals. Right. Yeah. It is our fundraiser. Because everything, like I know everything has gone up, everything has increased in price, but like things like putting sets together, all of that. So it's a huge cost every year to put on a show. Massive.
Yeah.
Like if I was talking about 150,000.
And a word
or
as well for
more.
The Wexford talent from around the county and beyond, and our neighbouring county of Wicklow, etc., and Waterford, for Ovations. It was there was wonderful. You talk about individual talent, there was wonderful talent, and hats off. I know I mentioned it myself, but I know you'd like to mention Johnny Smith. He's the director choreographer for Oyster Ladies, another group very close to our heart.
Yeah. I thought that was the outstanding feature of the night, was the choreography. Johnny Smith's choreography.
I agree with you. Very innovative, wasn't
it? Yeah. And some people who we know, some very close to home, the dancers were just great. But his choreography was very imaginative, and it was so bright and took your eye. It was really well done. I think that was the highlight of the night for me.
The other thing is that so the Ovation concert was celebrating 60 years of amateur musicals in Ireland, and it was on last weekend in Dublin. And just to put it into context, it was people from all over the country, but Wexford and the southeast region of Ames really featured in that, because we're steeped in this. We really are. It's in our DNA, musicals and singing and performing. And Johnny Smith brought all of that together from all over Ireland, from the four corners of the country. And he choreographed that.
And now he's directing and choreographing The Wizard of Oz.
That's right. It's just very, very exciting to see people.
It's the passing on of the talent, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's so important, Alan. Like, you know, me being 35 now. what happens is you have to keep musical theatre alive and you have to keep drama alive and you have to keep panto alive. You know, we're now coming to... Look, there's still a place for us in all of, and especially in the hits. People want to see,
oldies
and familiar faces, but they also want to see new talent. And the hits from the musicals in White's. Will I tell you the dates of it, Alan?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so the hits and the musicals will take place in White's Hotel from the 27th until the 30th of October, nightly. And tickets are on sale via the National Opera House website. And please go on and book your tickets. It'll be a fantastic night out.
Okay, I'm going to play one of the songs. I'll let Tony introduce it because he asked me to play it from Sister Act. But I know I need you to put on your political hat for just a second, because Anna's a regular listener, she says, in relation to Jaxer's call to get the flags back up on Rafter Street Bridge. Regulations for displaying the tricolour, it should be flown from sunrise to sundown unless properly illuminated at night. If flown with other flags, sport venues, it should be on a higher flagpole, only one tricolour in an area. It's a regulation that's very often not observed there. Thanks to Anne for that. What do you make of that? The mystery of the missing flags?
Councillor Owens brought that to the council meeting yesterday, and everybody was kind of scratching their heads because nobody really knows who removed them. But that, yes, there are rules in relation to the flying of, and there should be. And but it is going to be investigated as to where they went.
Yeah, well, Jaxer raised the issue. Do you think he'd get the flags raised again?
Knowing Jaxer, I would say so.
Tony Brennan introduced the song that gives you a flavour of hits from the musicals. What is it?
This is a song featuring our outstanding women's chorus, and it's a great number from Sister Act, and it's called Bless Our Show. And in our show, it features the one and only Siobhan Murphy.
Well done. And Siobhan Murphy is about to read the news at 12 o'clock, so we're very proud of her too. So we wrap it up there, and we'll be back with a jam-packed edition of the Morning Mix tomorrow, including the latest report from the EPA and lots more. But from all the Morning Mix team, show produced by Lucinda Kelly, and on the telephones today, Catherine Stafford, you have yourselves a super-duper Tuesday.